You have your Bibles with you, or your cell phone, or your iPad, or your otherwise, whatever you have. Open whatever you've got to 1 Samuel chapter 24. 1 Samuel chapter 24. And last time we were together, which was not the last time, last time I was up here, we were looking at this whole story of Saul and David, and David's incredible response to what otherwise would be, could have been very, very different. Last time we were together, I told you I was going to speak to you about authority, and this is a great story about authority. So I want us to hear it together as we read. We're going to read down through the 12th and 13th verse here. 1 Samuel chapter 24, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Now it came about when Saul returned from pursuing the Philistines that he was told, saying, 'Behold, David is in the wilderness in Gedi.'" It's been months, maybe years now since David has been pursued by Saul. "Saul took 3,000 chosen men from Israel and went to seek David and his men in front of the rocks of the wild goats." So out in the middle of nowhere, David is just trying to hide, trying to keep his head above water, and he's still getting chased. So it came about in the sheepfolds, came to the sheepfolds on the way, Saul did, where there was a cave, and Saul went in to relieve himself. It says, some of it says, he went in to rest or whatever. Like I said, as much as you rest when you're in the restroom, that's what he was doing there, okay? So the Bible's just real. People are real. Don't act like you don't go to the bathroom, too. So the guy goes in there to get a little privacy, and it wasn't private, but he didn't know it. And he goes in there, but nonetheless, it says, "David and his men were sitting in the inner recesses of the very same cave. And the men of David said to him, 'Behold, this is the day which the Lord has said to you, Behold, I am about to give your enemy into your hand, and you shall do to him as it seems good to you.'" Let me ask you something. I mean, how much sense do you need to have to know that it's a sign from God that the ruler of your people comes into the very cave that you're hiding in, strips down naked, and starts using the bathroom in front of you? You talk about signs from God 101. Well, that's a sign, okay? I mean, that's a sign, right? If you don't know what signs from God are, that one is it. The problem with signs from God is not God and not his signs, but our interpretation of signs. Notice how the children of Israel interpreted, or I should say, notice how the companions of David interpreted this. They said, "It's your shot, kill him." They were wrong. They failed the test. David says to his, they said, "David, kill him." In verse 5, it says, "David got up afterwards," and it says, "David arose and cut off the edge of Saul's robe." But afterwards, his conscience bothered him. Remember, that's not just any piece of his robe. He cut off a very significant piece of his robe because it was the hem of the robe that represented the authority. It was their symbolic place, like on our military, it's on your sleeves or on your collar. Well, it's the hem of the robe. That's the reason why the lady with the issue of blood goes and touches the hem of robe of Jesus. Just because she couldn't get to anything else? No. That was the symbol of his authority. If I can just touch the hem of his robe, right? So it's significant that she does that. Significant that David cuts off this hem, and his conscience bothered him because of it, because he disrespected Saul in that process. He said to his men, "Far be it from me because of the Lord that I should do this thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointed." Remember what that word means. Lord's anointed is not just some word. That's not just a title. It is just a title, but it is a very significant title. In Hebrew, it's HaMashiach. I forget. You know, here I go. I can't even pronounce English, and I'm trying to do Hebrew for you. HaMashiach Adonai, he says. The Lord's anointed in, if I could translate it or transliterate it for you, the Lord's Messiah. That's his title. Jesus isn't the first. He's the last to hold the title of Messiah. He was not the first. The first one was Saul. As bad as Saul is, Saul is the first guy in your Bible to be called Messiah. That's significant. When you hear that in your ears, you're thinking, "I'm about to kill the Lord's Messiah." I don't want nothing to do with that. Neither did David. His men did, though. "Far be it from me," he says, "to do such a thing. Stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed," he says there. Verse 7, "David persuaded his men with these words and did not allow them to rise up against Saul. And Saul arose, left the cave, went on his way. Now afterward, David arose, went out to the cave, calling after Saul, saying," what? What does he say to him? "You were ugly naked," right? Now, what does he say to him? "My lord the king." Great show of respect for a man who absolutely did not deserve respect, isn't it? "My lord the king," he says. And when Saul looked behind him, David bowed with his face to the ground and prostrated himself. Wow. David's not like us, is he? I mean, I hope he is. But the majority of us, he's not. We wouldn't have been like this. David said to Saul, "Why do you listen to the words of the men, saying, 'Behold, David is trying to harm you. Behold, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord has given you today into my hand in the cave, and some said to kill you, but my eye had pity on you. And I said, I will not stretch out my hand against the Lord, for he is,'" there it is, "the Lord's Messiah. Now, my father, see indeed, see the edge of your robe in my hand, for in it I cut off the edge of your robe and did not kill you. No one perceived that there is no evil and rebellion in my hands. Definitely not. And I have not sinned against you, though you were lying in wait for my life to take it. May the Lord judge between me and you, and may the Lord avenge me on you, for my hand shall not be against you." Like I said last time, I said we were going to speak to you. I was going to speak to you about this whole issue of authority and authority problems. The mistreatment and disrespect of authority is destroying us, killing us, killing our families, slaying our marriages, destroying our churches, killing our society. Because we all want to be it, don't we? Everything would be fine if everybody would do what I say. The problem is we all have that same attitude. Can't work. It does not work. It's destroying us. The problem with authority problem is that 10 months ago I preached about a 3-sermon series on this very same thing. So it's kind of too soon, y'all. I know I promised. But it's kind of too soon to drum it all up again, but I'm going to do it. But I'm not going to do it to the thoroughness that I did back in the fall. Back in September, I would refer you, don't go there now, but some awesome sermons, at least the material is, September 15th, 22nd, 29th of 2013. It's titled, go to islandbaptist.org, click on the sermon page, go to September. There you'll see Exodus, and then the title of the sermon is Authority Problem 1, Part 1, Part 2, Part 3. I would refer you to that. I do a much thorough, better, I think, handling than what I'm going to do today, because we're going to treat it sort of in a cursory fashion, because like I said, I've already preached this just about 10 months ago, and not that we couldn't hear this about every other month, in my conviction, but there's just something about me that just says, it's on the internet, you can go listen to it. So, you know, but we do need to cover this, because it is a major theme of this text. There's no way we can get through this text and not deal with the whole issue of authority. And David is such a contradiction to the way we would do things. His thought pattern, his heart, is so different than the typical one of us that we need to sit down and say, hey, wait a minute, David, what can we learn from you? What can we glean from this? Like I said, I'm fully convinced that quite a number of the problems that are in this room have to do with authority. Maybe the majority of the problems in this room, the basis of those problems have to do with the fact that you don't understand or that you disrespect authority. You say, oh, no, preacher, you got it wrong. My problem is such and such. My question is not such and such. My question is, where did it start? Where did the problem you're currently in, what's the basis of it? If we dug down to the bottom of it, what would we find down at the bottom? I'd be willing to bet that in a lot of cases we would find an authority problem. I don't know about you, but I do know this. I know that humanity's problem started with authority problem. Remember what Satan said to Adam and Eve? You will not die. Don't listen to what he says. Eat the fruit, right? You don't have to be underneath this before. What did they say? As he says, if you eat the fruit, or he's afraid if you eat the fruit, that what will happen to him? You'll be like God. You're going to get to call the shots in your own life. Isn't that the temptation of all the things that we do? I want to call my own shots. I want to be the person. I want to have total say. I don't want to listen to you. I don't want to listen to you. I want to do everything myself. That's called an authority problem. Started that way with Adam and Eve. They made, as a result of their decision, a mess of things. They made a wreck of the world that we live in. That's what happens when we don't submit ourselves to authority. We don't listen and recognize and understand what authority is and find it in our hearts to be obedient to it. Let me ask you this question. Which would you rather? Would you rather be your own authority, call all your own shots? Let's just be honest. I mean, I'm not asking you to raise your hand or nothing like that. I just want you to say in your own heart, I want you to answer this question honestly. You're not doing yourself any favors if you don't. So just simply ask, I'm asking a question, and you're going to answer it honestly in your heart, because I believe that's the only way God can actually deal with us. Here's a question. What would you rather? Would you truly, honestly in your heart, rather be your own authority, call your own shots, or truly in your heart, would you rather submit to whatever authority structure there is? Got a choice. Neither right. Well, I couldn't say that. There is one right one and there's one wrong one. But you got an absolute choice. Nobody overlooking you. You're sovereign over your personal life. You're able to make a decision, at least that level of sovereignty. One or the other. I call all the shots, or I find the system that God has created or that is created, and I submit to that system. Which would you rather? Here's what you need to know. God's universal system, no exceptions, is a system of authority and delegated authority. God's universal system. There is not a single person, not a single thing that is not involved in that authority system. You may think you're not, but you are. Not a single person, not a single thing that is not underneath authority. All the way to the top angel, even the devil himself, is underneath authority. They're underneath authority. You're not an exception to this system. So if in your heart you say, I want to call my own shots, you're no different than Adam and Eve. And by the way, you want to get out from under God's system, which I would suggest to you is not a good thing. Because as a little magnet show I down here, I show you, okay, so I want to run against authority. So what am I running against? I'm ultimately running against God. So God is the source of all blessings and all love and, by the way, life. I'm running against that. I'm running away from that. How's that going to go? Not well. You will not like the results. Like I said, if you ever get a chance to run your own life, don't do it. Don't do it. You will make a wreck of it. You will have a ton of regrets. A ton. All of us, to a certain level, have all done it, have we not? Is there anyone that's in here, honestly, who made those decisions and say, oh, I have no regrets? Not if you're honest. Not if you're honest than what we're trying to be. So if you want to be out from under authority, you really want to be out from under God, bottom line. Again, what's in your heart? Which phrase fits you best? I really don't want to answer to anyone. Or in my heart, I want to know what God's system is. I really want to, and I want to submit to whatever system, whatever level that is. What's in your heart today? Whatever system, whatever program God has, however, whatever level of authority, whatever place I'm supposed to be in, I want to find that place, and I want to stay in that place. Oh, man, talk about an unpopular position. But that's the position that we're dealing with, David. David had a very good understanding of authority. And because of his understanding of authority, it delivered him from making a wreck out of his life. He's got a shot here to really mess it up. See what I'm saying? Your king, who's trying to kill you, comes into the cave that you're in, completely disrobes, and starts using the bathroom in front of you. Is that a sign? I'm thinking that's a sign. I'm thinking that it is. But the question is, a sign of what? These men said it's a sign to kill him. They failed the test. David saw it as a sign and a test to test his own understanding of authority, and he passed. He passed. I will not touch the Lord's anointed. He's God's system of authority. I don't like him. I don't approve of him. He's wrong. He's hunting me. He's trying to kill me. Nevertheless, he's still God's king. I don't have a right to touch him. Even cutting off the hem of his robe, which to us just seemed like I'd have stolen his robe. I don't know what I'd probably have killed him. I don't know what I would have done. Because I wonder about my heart, because I've never been put in this level of test of authority. This is an amazing test, and David passes. David chose to bow his face to the ground and call him what? My Lord, the King. Demon-possessed, backstabbing, using his position of authority to control others. Everything that could be possibly wrong about a person is true about Saul. And yet, nonetheless, David does this. This is one of the reasons why, and many other reasons why, throughout his administration, the decisions and the directions that David goes, the reason why God says, he is a man after my own heart. Now, that is a person that you want to be. Why I say, you want to be like David. Why? Because David was like God. Is that where you are today? A man, a woman, a person, after God's own heart? Listen, you only have two options. After God's own heart or after whose own heart? Yeah, there's no middle ground, is there? It's not a neutral ground. I either got God. That's a heart system that's out there. There's a system that few people are choosing. Narrow is the way, right? Straight is the path. Small is the door, if you will. Few people are passing through it. That's the way of wisdom. That's the heart of God. The big door over here belongs to Satan. A lot of people running through that door. You got one of the other options. Either today you are seeking to submit yourself, to humble yourself, or today you're seeking to exalt yourself. Which is it? What's your pursuit? I mean, what's your goal? One or the other is true about you, and you're in one of the two kingdoms. One of the two directions. Either you're seeking to humble yourself or you're seeking to exalt yourself. Which is it? So when we were together back in the fall, I gave you seven different points, seven different big issues of authority. I'm only going to give you three this morning because they are the big three. And because, like I said, we don't have a lot of time together, and I've already preached this, but nonetheless, I want to give them to you again. They're all based upon what's written here. Well, Romans 13 and other places. Romans 13 is probably the best place to go when you talk about whole issues of authority. How do we operate according to authority? David didn't have Romans. What did David have? David didn't even have half the Bible, guys. What did David have? David had the Spirit of God. You want to know what makes a difference in a person's life? A person who surrendered, submitted to the Spirit of God. Now, I'm not saying you don't need a Bible, because you definitely need a Bible, and the Holy Spirit will not disagree with the Bible, but you can have a whole bookshelf full of Bibles and not be surrendered to the Spirit of God, and I'm telling you, this stuff is not going to work. Surrender to the Spirit of God. It's very simple, and it's very difficult at the same time. David had the Spirit of God, didn't have Romans. You've got Romans, and you have the Spirit of God permanently, so we're in a better shape than him, really, honestly. Consider what this says. Let everyone, notice, not you at his exception, be subject to the governing authorities. For this is a big mouthful now, this next clause. For there is no authority except that which has been established, that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Now, Paul writes this to who? To the Roman church, which is located where? In Rome, right? Do you know who the emperor of Rome was at the time he writes this? People read this and they say, oh, well, Paul wrote this, but he had no idea the level of corruption and messed up leadership that we can have here today in our world. Let me just say this to you very clearly. Oh, yes, he did. He writes it to a group of people who live in Rome. The emperor of Rome was a guy by the name of Nero. You don't want to talk about a piece of work as far as leadership goes. This guy was amazingly messed up. Married five or six times, a couple of those times homosexually. A couple of those homosexual marriages, one time he was the bride, the other time he was the groom. Didn't like the architecture of Rome, so you know what he did? He set it on fire. Killed a couple thousand people, no big deal, because it didn't bother him a bit. We're talking about corrupt leadership. I mean, Nero would eat our leadership for lunch. Saddam Hussein, Hitler, they have nothing on this guy. He would take Christians, because he blamed the burning of Rome on Christians because he can't take the blame himself. I mean, for crying out loud, he's the emperor, right? Christians, dip them in tar, hang them around his courtyard, light them on fire at night so that they could light his courtyard parties. That's the kind of guy that Paul writes this about. So don't say that Paul didn't know what he was talking about when he talked about corrupt leadership. He knew exactly. He knows better than you do. And so he says this in the face of that to a group of people who are under it. He knows exactly what he's talking about when it comes to corruption. Exactly. No authority except from God. So the appointment of human authority comes from God. I don't care where you find it. If you have authority, it's kind of like wisdom. God possesses all wisdom. God possesses all authority. If you have wisdom of authority, God let you borrow it. It actually belongs to him. That's why it's so important that those of us who have any kind of authority, whether it be all the way from a parent all the way to the top leadership of our nation or world, that we recognize that this stuff belongs to God. Be very careful with it. Don't mess with it or mishandle it, because you're going to have to answer to God for it. So watch yourself. Watch it. No appointment that comes from God. Even Saul in his evil state was still God's man, was he not? He was still God's guy. How do we know? Because he's still in the position. Wasn't he? David recognized this. David recognized this, and he didn't do what his friends wanted to do there in the back of the cave. Again, our tendency is to think that Paul didn't understand evil authority. And let me tell you, he surely did. He wrote this in the face of it. Point number one, the appointment of authority all comes from God. Point number two, all authority is ordained by God, but human authority is limited in scope. All authority comes from God. I don't care what level you find it in. But it is limited in scope. Human authority does not have the right to tell us they don't have absolute authority over us. No human being does. No group of human beings do. They do not have absolute authority. Why? Because God retains absolute authority. There does come a time, there can come a time in your life in which there is a time to rebel against authority in order to obey God. Not rebel against authority in order to do what you want to do. or do what you think is best, or do what your interpretation of what you think is best, but ultimately only to obey God, I would say those chances are rare. The example we have in the scriptures, King Darius, who is the king of Persia, underneath him, second man in charge, basically, is a guy by the name of Daniel who writes the book of Daniel. Incredible man. Spirit-filled man in every way. Darius gets tricked in by some of the lesser leaders to make this temporary ruling of about a month to say, no one prays to any god but me, King Darius says, according to the law. They believe their kings were their gods. So what does Daniel do? Well, Daniel's used to praying three times a day in a window in his room that faces Jerusalem. So what does he do? He says, oh, well, you know, the authorities that are placed by God, I have to obey them so I don't pray anymore. Now, what does he do? Time comes on his, I guess, sundial to go and pray. He goes up to his room. He opens the windows towards Jerusalem, and he continues to pray exactly what his enemies thought he would do. He rebelled against authority. Why? Because there does come a time in which we need to obey God rather than men. But in our society, we've been blessed in such a way that in most cases, that's rare. That is rare. Watch yourself when you think it's time for me to rebel against authority. Make sure it's God that you're obeying and not just your whims and your own personal rebellion, because that is probably a greater tendency. So point number two, although ordained by God, human authority has limited scope. Finally, point number three, and this is the big issue with David. Submission to authority is not based on respect for the person, but it's respect for the God-given office that that person holds. Respect for authority has nothing to do with respect for the person. It has everything to do with respect for the God-given position, the God-given place that this person who is over you holds. There's no caveat in scriptures, listen to me very carefully, Christian, that says you can disobey authority, you can disrespect authority because you don't like them. You don't have to like them. Be very clear. You don't have to like them. You don't have to agree with them. Vote against them. Do all that. But there's no caveat that says I don't have to do what they say because I don't like them. I don't agree with their policies. No caveat, guys. You're not going to have God on your side when you disobey authority for that reason. It won't be there. Examine David's situation. Saul's treatment of David is completely unjust. Saul is evil. He's demented. He's demon-possessed. He's tried to kill David on a number of occasions. He's hunting him down. David's having to hide for crying out loud in the middle of nowhere in a cave. And lo and behold, Saul still finds him, sort of, in the same place. But David still submits to him. So what's he submitting to? To the man? No, there's nothing to submit to. The guy's completely washed out. All he has left is that God has not removed him from a position. So what does David submit to? The position that he holds and the recognition that God gave him that position. And still we say, oh, David, he's a loser. He lost out. Really? David? David was greatly benefited. David gained everything by submitting to Saul. He learned, first of all, how not to do it. You don't act like Saul. He gained the respect of his men. Gain the respect of his nation. Remember, at the end of Saul's administration, Saul kills himself, throws himself on a sword. But some guy there has the smart idea he's going to get a reward by getting Saul's crown, taking it to David, and claiming that he killed Saul. What did David do with that guy? Had him executed right there. Why? Because he says, you don't touch the Lord's anointed. He was serious business about it. He says, I don't care how I get this position. God's going to do it. But you're going to put your hand against the Lord's anointed, and I'm going to have to deal with you. David had an incredible understanding of authority. Incredible understanding of respect, and we so desperately need it. Bottom line about David, he gained the approval of his men, but ultimately he gained the approval of God, a man after God's own heart. Could that be said true about you? Is that true about you? Given the option, you go for the submission system or go for the I call all the shots system. Which is it? One will make a wreck out of your life. The other one, you will find great blessing. God blesses those who understand him and understand what he's doing and submit despite who may be in authority, who submit, who humble themselves. You're either seeking to exalt yourself today or you're seeking to humble yourself. Which is it? And I ask if you would bow your heads and close your eyes as we come to conclusion this morning. Which is it? The Bible teaches us that we cannot even come to God unless we come in humility. The Bible says that it's impossible for a person to be made right with God through anything that they do. You may be here this morning thinking, I'm coming to church because it's going to make me right with God. And I got something to tell you. That simply is not true. You cannot be made right with God because of good things, because the reason is you've done bad things and you can't cover up those things with anything good that you do. The Bible says we have to humble ourselves, that all our good deeds are like filthy rags. They're like worthless stuff. They're just simple rubbish. We have to acknowledge that the only way we can be made right with God is because through His Son, Jesus Christ. It takes humility to do that. It takes a humbling to say that all these good things that I've done and all this church work that I've done, it doesn't mean anything. That's exactly right. I can't be made right with God through anything except through Jesus. Humble yourselves today. Humble yourselves. We live in a system of authority. God's system is a system of authority and humility. You have authority, it takes great humility to operate authority. You have humility, it takes great humility to submit to those we don't like, we don't agree with. Nonetheless, we have to do it. It's God's system. Heavenly Father, I pray that the spirit of humility would wash over us. Humility of Christ, who was born in a manger to poverty-stricken parents, who had no place to lay his head. Lord, I pray that his humility would wash over us. I pray that our desire to call our own shots, we would realize that we're sheep. Sheep need a shepherd. Lord, we need you. And we need your shepherding over our lives. And sometimes these people in authority over us all the time are delegated authority from you. Help us, God, even though we may not like the person or their position, Lord, help us, God, to submit to them as best we can. Lord, we look at David and we see a man who had a heart just like yours, because he had your spirit. Lord God, we know you as personal Savior. We have your spirit, but we have to have the filling of your spirit. Lord, I pray that you'd fill us today. Make us into people we cannot be otherwise. Change us, Lord. Through your Holy Spirit, we pray. So in Jesus' name we ask all these things. Amen.